And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today, Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, and this is Oily Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to listen to some Italian music, and we're going to think together what is going on in our beautiful world. You know, I've been watching the TV and looking at, all those world leaders that are gathered in the United Nations. And as we speak, we have President Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian people, speaking in the United Nations. And the flag of Palestine is raising today there. And we need to assess what is the situation and how we're going to go about it. Now, we have some small news today between the music, because I want to tell everybody that this is it. This is the moment we all been waiting for. This is the moment, you know, even the sky in the and the stars are telling us. Even the moon changes color. Everybody knows that this is the time of the play of the world. Now, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to make this good? How can we change this world and turn the page on that history of terror, of killing, and of devastation, of people running in the street all over Europe, and make it better? How we as the world, we're going to unite and make a better day for the children of tomorrow and the grandchildren that we want them to grow up to be wonderful. Now, we have a few choices. First of all, we all know that the biggest players, the Americans, the Russians, are in play right now in the same area, the same zone, in the same square, and they're not fighting because there is a higher purpose. And, you know, it's not easy to say, guys, it's really, really going to be okay when you see everybody, you know, shooting. But this is the end. This is the last strip of the terror, because once, you know, that the Americans and the Russians are joining forces to finish with this terror organization in the Middle East. And, you know, when they decide, they'll make it happen. Of course, every one of them does a different thing, but the coordination is there. Now, on top of everything, we have the Iranians are playing the game, which is a little suspicious, because until yesterday or a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we had them under siege, and we told the world we need to stop them from having a nuclear weapon because they want to kill eliminate the state of Israel, which is still holding that to be true. So I don't see Iranian game in it as a factor that we can accept. Let's say the truth, because I'm telling you guys the truth. We cannot accept the Iranian troops coming to the border of in the north of Israel. It's not going to happen. We cannot accept even that the Russians are joining forces with Hezbollah, which is a terror organization. It's not happening, right? So even though that today we had the declaration of the parliament, the Russian parliament, that they agreed to have some air raid on Syria, because there was an invitation, official invitation of the Syrian government to join forces with them to help them save them. So, all right, so they made it all by the book, by international book. And if you pay attention to Vladimir Putin speaking, he's really trying hard to set, to keep the rules of the game in play. Nice. He's not trying to break any rules. Seriously, I can see that because he's always saying, and on top of it, he said there is God. And if there is any time that I hear a person or a leader saying that he believes in God on the sort that, let the other people leave, not that the God that they let everybody else die. There is a God that of light, of good, of right, of righteousness. If you're talking about that God is the God of everybody, it's all over the world. So when he spoke about that, Vladimir Putin was speaking about it from the heart. And I'm saying, okay, we have a change of heart. Something is happening. Guys, we didn't go through the whole routine of the world coming to grip with the devastation of the Second World War to come to the third one. It doesn't make sense. It won't make sense. We love to keep it cool. We need to, blow the steam out and just relax and say, we can make this work. Of course, the headquarters cannot be in Iraq because what the point of having a collaboration in Iraq, Iran and Russia and Syria in Iraq? It's like the American left, Russian took over. It's not going to play right. You need to understand that in the world of politics, we need to do things right. For God, of course, purpose, but for the right of the people. We need to respect everybody. If we respect everybody, we can play it. And of course, we have two dimensions. We have the one, the Russian that come from ideology of communism, I'm sorry, communism that is more social, let's say socialist. And the American that is more capitalist, it's a different kind of thought. So if you think it over, you might think like we have the capitalism that can create an engine, a world engine of economy. We can let it work, and we need to, to oil that machine. Means that all the money that we sucked out of the American machine needs to start coming back. The investment needs to come back to America because they manage the economy of the world, if you like it or not. Okay, let's say that, the Chinese took a very big bite, but the truth of the matter is they invested it in high-risk places for a long run. I respect them. I have no problem, but right now we need to talk about the economy that runs in a way that we can trust it. It means that the stock market will start producing. It means that, the big corporation will not start taking the money and running. And I heard already in the news that the people are taking the money and running. Sweetheart, anybody that does that, the money, you'll run out of money eventually. The machine needs to be oiled and run, and you cannot run from yourself. You will need to have the economy. Selfish is nice, I guess, for people who care about themselves only, but at the end, you cannot have a life vest, or you can have a run with your jewels when you have the boat sinking. It doesn't make sense, right? So the boat needs to stay afloat. We need to keep America's economy running good, and we need to help the economy elsewhere. Now, we know that the Russians are suffering a very, very bad economic situation. The fact that they're working with us and they're trying to get the threat of terrorism off our back deserves some attention, deserves some, kind of coordination. I know we have a problem with Ukraine, and I know we need to start wrestling with that thought. But on the level of the economical growth of that country, we need to pay attention because their collapse will not help the world economy. So it has to work in sync. And of course, if there is dispute, we keep it going. It's not easy to digest sometimes, but you know, you don't kill the person before you come to agreement. You need to let them believe, give them the life that they need, and we all together are going to get out of, you know, on top of everything. Because at the end of the day, we need to take care of people. It's not the land, it's the people. It's the resources that need to be redistributed again, right? That needs to be properly redistributed. So this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is Impossible Truth. This is, you know, the very, very day where people are talking in the United Nations, and we are going to listen to some Italian music for the moon, all right? Let's listen to this.
Puoi vedere anche nei film che per amore non puoi morire.
Ma puoi soffrire anche. All right, and we are back. We have a breaking news right now, and it's important to understand that while we're talking, there is a big conference in the United Nations, and Abu Mazen, the leader of the Palestinian people, which is 80 years old, is probably the last leader, because without him, they are all going to be, you know, dismissed like a completely unorganized entity. And they aren't organized. They are mixed with terror cells, and it will be very, very difficult for them. But right now, he was saying, and I have Udi Segal that is on the floor there. Udi Segal is the newsmaker from Channel 2 in Israel, and he's in New York, and he's talking about the fact that Abu Mazen just started an attack on the Temple Mount. The records that we holding right now, that there is some devastation on Temple Mount. Now, Temple Mount is the holiest place of all. For some reason, the Palestinians decided that they want to take over it. You know, there was an accord which said that we have to have a freedom of religious for everybody by United Nations chapter. It's 181, resolution 181 of the United Nations state, basically, that we have to have a freedom of religion from all, because Jerusalem is international. Now, they decided, those Palestinians, that they don't even have the authority because the Jordanians are in charge. And for all reason, you know, that is a mosque. Think about it. You know, it's a holy ground. If anybody went to the Vatican, you know, you see how huge it is. The Vatican is much bigger many times than Temple Mount. Temple Mount is a small one, and you need to have a bridge, a little bridge to walk on to a little gate, and then you can come to the floor. Now, it's really, really nice, and the fragrance on the hill is beautiful. The idea that people come there and get attacked, it's really not going to be conducive to anybody. Now, they are trying to push it. They are actually, you know, it's on the United Nations floor, and they're attacking Israel. That they say that, just listen to this. They say that Israel is allowed people to go on, you know, on the Temple Mount to pray. It's really not true, because the policeman doesn't allow even to bring the Bible. If you hold any flag of Israel, they get annoyed and they make you leave there. It's really ridiculous, and they are becoming to be a little possessive of a place that doesn't belong to them, like many other places. And I'm not saying it per se. If you have an international law that says it's international, what part of international you don't get? So Israel is holding the police there to keep the quiet and the ordinance of the place, and they are acting up and they're planning something for Friday, and it's not going to be pretty. And I'm telling you guys all, they are not going to be allowed to blow stuff up like they did. We have picture. If you go to my site, you know, to my page on BBS Rated Impossible Truth on Facebook, you can see I put the videos out. The video is clear. They're collecting this, turning the, you know, mattress, and they're blowing stuff up in the middle. It's, they're going to blow their own mark up if they keep it going. And the fact that we have a leader of the, you know, Palestinian movement, it's not even the authorized people to speak for the mosque, which is ridiculous, is actually igniting them to act up. And, you know, when you ignite people up, you have to be careful, because the kids, the 10-year-old, the 12-year-old, are the ones who throw stones on people, on worshippers. Those are people that you educate. Now, listen to what he's telling them, and you understand that he's educating another line of terrorist activity. So I think that by all means, is out of line. By all means, is needs to be called to order. By all means, everybody's right by not meeting with them, you know, but State Department official John Kerry did not, you know, Secretary of State did not meet with him. Good for you. Good for you. You did well, because holding up, you know, with terrorist organization, when frankly they've been running around with the Turks now these days, I don't know for what reason, makes you feel that we need to get some, you know, U.S. involvement in the midst just to get order. All right, we got you know, some U.S. information. Let's listen to this.
The U.S. says it is critical that efforts be coordinated in the international response to the conflict in Syria.
This is the beginning of a genuine effort to see if there is a way to deconflict, but also to find a way forward that will be effective.
Secretary of State Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov's meeting on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly follows a series of phone calls in which the U.S. has sought clarity on Russia's role in Syria. Russia has been sending aircraft and other military equipment into the country in what appears to be an effort to support the Assad regime, a move that conflicts with the U.S. position that Assad has lost legitimacy and needs to step down.
This is Russia's way of saying, I now have a more tangible stake and say in the trajectory of this conflict.
In an interview, Russia's leader suggested that U.S. support for the moderate Syrian opposition is illegal.
In my opinion, provision of military support to illegal structures runs counter to the principles of modern international law and the United Nations Charter. We support only legal governmental structures.
Putin and President Barack Obama will have face-to-face talks Monday, their first meeting in about a year. The U.S. is looking for clarity with Russia on issues including Syria.
I'm not expecting a dramatic breakthrough, but I do hope it's the beginning of a process, the beginning of a conversation, not the end of one.
Analysts say Russia's ultimate goal may be to protect its assets in Syria as the Assad government battles Islamic State militants and the moderate Syrian opposition. Pam Dawkins, VOA News, New York.
And that was a perfect segment. It was perfect because it just showed that we can collaborate, we can work together. The Americans are really open and they are really reaching out and freely holding older than guns because the Russian came out. Now, the fact that the Russian complained that the rebels have no right there make you think a little, you know, by international law. I told you guys, he's working on the international charter. Everything needs to be by the law. But remember, the Arab Spring just changed everything, and the totalitarian government is not something that, you know, by the rules. So let's not say that the American position in Syria is wrong. It's not that. We need to understand that we need to go to intermediate government in Syria, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen really soon. They're going to let Assad be for the time being, I guess. And the European Union agree on that. It's not easy to change a regime, and by all means, nobody cares to change anybody's regime. You know, it's everybody who cares about their own interest in the world. And the Russians, of course, they need to have their assets protected. The Americans, by all means, need to keep on doing to be the leader of the free world, because they are. And it's not about, they taking side or anything. You know, there was a lot to say, a lot to say about the behavior of everybody. But the only thing we can say is the results. That's what we care for. We care for that result. We want to make it better. Let's do it better. We can. We can. Yeah. You understand? We definitely can. Let's listen to some Italian music, and then we're going to go back to some segment of the news.
Lo puoi vedere anche nei film, che per amore non puoi morire. Puoi soffrire anche 100 anni senza capire perché. Le scene perdono colore e il freddo arriva alle mani.
And we love our Gianni Morandi songs. Gianni Morandi is probably 70 years or something, and his voice in concert sounds like that. You won't believe it. This guy is rock and rolling. The 70s, like it started. There are endless movies, endless, you know, songs that he recorded. And the Italian music really did well with him in the theater. I really love this concert. I really love all his songs, and it's really hard to choose. But you should check it out. Gianni Morandi. All right. So let's go back to some news. More news. There is some other collective, you know, information changing by the time, but something that I thought it might be important for you to listen to.
Are you serious? Are you serious, folks? Information coming out of the Middle East. Russia has attacked ISIS this morning, and Russia locked arms with the Assad's forces and with Hezbollah. Russia joins forces with this radical Islamic Muslim militant terrorist Hezbollah and Assad's army to attack ISIS. Now, this comes 3 days after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made an emergency meeting trip to Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin, and Putin promised him that he would not join forces with the Iranians or Hezbollah. And 3 days later, he joins forces with Hezbollah and attacks ISIS. Now, look, I'm not mad he attacked ISIS, but if you're Israel, you're wondering what is going on, because ISIS could be used as an excuse for Vladimir Putin, boot scooting Putin, to join forces with Assad, we know he's going to do that, with Hezbollah, who are based in southern Lebanon, who hate Israel, and then the Iranians, who want to annihilate Israel. Are you serious? This is what's coming out of this Iranian nuke deal. And America has no clue what to do. They're lost. Putin has made another move, and that Obama can't counter or won't counter. And so Russia now sits in the backyard of Israel, just like the Bible said would happen in Ezekiel 38. Russia is taking back the Magog territory, taking Crimea back, surrounding eastern Ukraine, that's next, repositioning themselves in Syria. I just don't know what's going to happen. And if I'm Benjamin Netanyahu, you don't know who to trust or who to talk to because it don't matter. Wow, are you serious? What is going on? Something biblical is going on. And this is happening while the Pope is speaking before U.S. Congress, pushing a UN agenda, the United Nations General Assembly agenda, Agenda 2030, global sustainability. And this is happening the same time that Mecca had a massacre, a madness, as a march turned into a stampede and killed 717 people and wounded 805. I mean, and the blood moons are about ready to turn blood red, a super moon. Are you serious? Are you serious? What? Serious? Are you saved?
Oh, God, it's really, you know, if you really think about it, it's impossible, but true. It's all crazy. We cannot understand what, in what way to look at it, only with the knowledge that there is hope, that God is really going to check it out and help us all, because it can go, it can blow out. Now, if it blows out, just remember the repercussion. What can happen? Don't go there. Don't even think about going there. Don't get, you know, get your high horses off your high horses and just relax. Think it over. World leader needs to get, you know, take a deep breath and think, we need to control terror. We need to eliminate terror from the earth. We need to make sure that nobody wants to be a terrorist. The children go to school. They need they need to be sheltered. We need the people, the refugees. You know, European Union has a very big task right now. Needs to take care of the refugees. Nothing we can do. It wasn't, you know, it's not a birth of a baby that they could prepare for. It happened to them. Because they didn't do nothing. They didn't care before of what's really going on in Syria. And the American, you know, we can say that the American were the only one that the raising flag, the raised flag up the north, you know, the Israeli, the raised flag all day long because we are in defense constantly. Yesterday, you know, they bombarded. We have a holiday in Israel right now. And they bombarded, you know, sent a missile over to a festival. There was a festival, and thank God that we have the Iron Dome. Iron Dome, that's, you know, it's, we shoot down the missile when they come. It's like, remember that, you know, the Star Wars that President Reagan built for America? God bless his soul, what a president. He thought about it. He took action, and he did it. So let's do something about it. Let's start winning. Okay, we win the war on terror. We reorganize the world. We take care of the kids. And Assad, you know, there are other people that can take care of that area. But if they're talking about Syria, it's going to mean that they want the Alawi Muslim to be in charge there, I guess. So somebody will have to step up to the plate to take over, because it's not going to last forever. You know, it's going to be a week or so between, you know, it's going to be crunch time. Now, the American bombarded in Afghanistan. It means that they made the more noises. We are back. You know, we are here. Don't ignore us. So we have to understand that the Russians' attack are going to be soon over, because they'll have to retreat for coordination, regional coordination, because you cannot go blow up stuff without coordinating with the other. The Iranian needs to get out of the game. It's not their game to play, by all due respect. It's not their game to play. And the Palestinians, they need to get off Temple Mount and be good, because before they know it, they're going to be, you know, pushed as all the Hamasic, because they belong to many terrorist organizations. And Jordan, take responsibility on your only mosque. The Temple Mount is not yours. It's all ours. So slowly but surely, we can work it out. We just need to take a deep breath. It's not going to be long before it's going to be all over, okay? So we need just to just cross that bridge and make it happen. Let's listen to some music and then we'll be back for more news. And la vita adesso, it means life is now. It's not yesterday, it's not tomorrow, it's now. We need to make it happen now. It has to happen for everybody's sake. We are in between, you know, life is good if we can make the right decision. And the right decision have a core understanding of the blueprints that we came from. And we came from a very basic civilized world that stated, you know, with the Ten Commandments or the Seven Rules of Noah, that stated, you know, you respect each other, you know that there is God and there is, you know, a time that you have to observe and relax and keep it holy for yourself. Then you have the rules of civilized rules that say that you don't go and take anything that doesn't belong to you. You don't take life that doesn't, of course, it's not yours to take. But you don't lie and you don't hold a witness that is against your fellow friends, that, you know, a lie witness. And you don't want anything that doesn't belong to you. Like, don't be jealous, that is stuff. So basic humanitarian stuff. And we need to create the world as civilized as it is. And we have all the Bible keep us, you know, in the right direction constantly. Gives us the rule of commerce, the rules of, husband and wife, the rules of everything. Everybody can find something in the Bible because it's the world of God's live one. Now, the fact that we cannot get along, it's bogus, because we can. The fact is that we go along every so often. Then there are people who want to break the rules. They want to change it. They want to change that life. They want to create a chaos. So they decide, oh, let's do chaos. That will give us the opportunity to do whatever we want. And they create chaos. So chaos become terror. Terror become, you know, a killing of people. Then they promise them. They promise them. I love to think that people may promise other the world after death. That's something that I didn't understand how anybody can be promised that. Which is, by all due respect, it's not for us to say. We don't know. If you're alive, you definitely don't know. Even that, you know, if you are the best prophet in the universe, okay, there is no rules that say, or, you know, if you're a prophet, let's say, if you're a prophet of the universe, you think that God will tell you what he's going to do with them after? I don't think so. Well, prove me wrong, okay? Let's see. That will be nice. Anyway, I think we have another segment of news, so no, I think we covered it all, right? We still have one more. Oh, Doug, thank you so much. You're such a kind man. We have another one, and let's listen to it.
Possible. First, I've repeatedly voiced Russia's official stance. Iran has the right to a peaceful nuclear program, and it can't be singled out for discrimination. Second, we need to be aware that Iran is located in a very challenging region. I've told our Iranian partners about that. That's why Iranian threats made towards neighboring countries, in particular Israel, threats that Israel can be destroyed, are absolutely unacceptable. This is counterproductive.
This is not a proper quote of the Iranian president.
It doesn't quite matter whether it's a proper quote or not. It means it's best to avoid a wording that could be improperly quoted or could be interpreted differently. That's why the focus on Iran does have a reason behind it. I have no doubts that Iran is compliant with the rules, simply because there's no proof of the opposite. According to the latest IAEA report, Iran has been abiding by the commitments it has taken up. True, there are some outstanding issues, but with due patience and friendly attitudes, they can be resolved. I have a great respect for Iran and a great interest in it. This is a great country indeed. You don't often hear this attitude mentioned in relation to Iran, but it's true. This is a country with a great culture, a great history, and is a great nation. They're very proud of their country. They have their own understanding of their place, both in the region and in the world, and that's something you have to respect. You've grasped the core of the problem. Iranians are very smart and cunning politicians. And to a certain degree, they have exploited this confrontation with the United States.
They are not the only ones.
They're extremely crafty in this, and they do it to tackle their domestic political issues. When there's an external enemy, it united the nation. But I guess the United States have been employing the same technique. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, there have been no external threats that would allow Washington to dominate the West. There must be a threat so that the US can protect their allies from it. This position yields political and economic benefits. If everyone relies on one country for protection, then this country is entitled to some preferential treatment. So it's very important to possess this status of a global defender, to be able to resolve issues even beyond the realm of foreign policy and security issues. I think the US has been using Iran for this very purpose, that it is to unite their allies in the shadow of a real or false threat. It's quite a complicated issue, but it's not an issue for Russia. We've been complying with our international commitments, including on Iran's peaceful nuclear program. As you know, Russia built the Bushehr power plant in Iran. We've completed this project and are prepared for further cooperation. Yet when we proposed to enrich uranium on Russian territory, our Iranian partners refused, for reasons unknown to us. They argue that they will enrich uranium on their own, in line with existing international regulations. And as I said earlier, if they don't break any rules, they're fully entitled to do that. We will endorse this right, but we will also remain aware of the concerns that other states and the international community has concerning full compliance with these rules.
Can I clarify something? The thing is, I was asking you not only about the US-Iranian relations, but also about the US-Russian relations. Would you agree that we have fundamental ideological differences on key issues of international law?
So right on the eve of my meeting with Barack Obama, you are pushing me to make some serious statements.
It's a very important issue. If the country thinks it has more rights than others...
I thought you wouldn't notice my deviation, but you did. Indeed, you are very persistent. To date, we don't have any significant ideological differences, but we have fundamental cultural differences. Individualism lies at the core of the American identity, while Russia has been a country of collectivism. One student of Pushkin's legacy has formulated this difference very aptly. Take Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind, for instance. She says, "I'll never be hungry again." This is the most important thing for her. Russians have different, far loftier ambitions, more of a spiritual kind. It's more about your relationship with God. We have different visions of life. That's why it's very difficult to understand each other, but it's still possible.
That's why there's international law to create a level playing field for everyone.
The US is a very democratic state, there's no doubt about that, and it originally developed as a democratic state. When the first settlers set their foot on the continent, life forced them to forge a relationship and maintain a dialogue with each other to survive. That's why America was initially conceived as a fundamental democracy. With that in mind, we should not forget that America's development began with a large-scale ethnic cleansing, unprecedented in human history. I wouldn't like to delve so deeply into it, but you're forcing me to do it. When Europeans arrived in America, that was the first thing they did. And you have to be honest about it.
There are not so many stories like that in human history. Take the destruction of Carthage by the Roman Empire. The legend has it that Romans plowed over and sowed the city with salt so that nothing will ever grow there. Europeans didn't use the salt because they used the land for agriculture, but they wiped out the indigenous population. Then there was slavery, and that's something that's deeply ingrained in America. In his memoirs, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell revealed how hard it was for him as a black man, how hard it was for him to live with other people staring at you. It means this mentality has taken root in the hearts and minds of the people and is likely to still be there. Now take the Soviet Union. We know a lot about Stalin now. We know him as a dictator and a tyrant. But still, I don't think that in the spring of 1945, Stalin would have used a nuclear bomb against Germany if he had one. He could have done it in 1941 or 1942, when it was a matter of life or death. But I really doubt that he would have done it in 1945, when the enemy had almost given up and had absolutely no chance to reverse the trend. I don't think he would. Now look at the US, they dropped the bomb on Japan, a country that was a non-nuclear state and was very close to defeat. So there are big differences between us, but it's quite natural that people with such differences are determined to find ways to understand each other better. I don't think there is an alternative. Moreover, it's not by chance that Russia and the US forged an alliance in the most critical moments of modern history. That was the case in World War I and World War II. Even if there was fierce confrontation, our countries united in the face of a common threat, which means there's something that unites us. There must be some fundamental interest that brings us together. That's something we need to focus on first. We need to be aware of our differences, but focus on a positive agenda that can improve our cooperation.
America and Russia's relations with the U.S. are important issues for our network, largely because Americans make up most of our audience. If you simply look at our website's hit statistics, you'll see that most of our audience comes from America. So anything related to the U.S. is a key topic for us. And here is Anastasia Cherkina, who has specially come over from New York for this meeting. She works at our US-based channel, RT America, which caters to an American audience and focuses specifically on American issues. Is that right, Anastasia?
Yes, thank you. I've lived in New York for the past 5 years. You have mentioned the fundamental differences as well as the common features that Russia shares with the United States. I would like to go back to our diplomatic relations and the present issues of international law. When I meet American politicians and Russia experts these days, I often hear them acknowledge off-record that the Magnitsky Act has effectively come to replace the Jackson-Vanik Amendment, which demonstrates the same outdated approach towards Russia. As we know, when Barack Obama met with Mr. Medvedev during the summit in Seoul last year, he made some hints, saying he would have more flexibility after re-election.
I see you guys just don't get off their backs, do you?
This is the last question, I promise.
This always happens.
Obama hinted that it would be easier for him to cooperate with Russia. However, that is not what we're seeing today. We've already touched upon many of our remaining issues with the U.S. Why do you think the reset has not worked? And can it ever take place in the first place as an equal, reciprocal process? Or is it that Russia is always expected to sacrifice its national interest?
Any state pursues its national interests, and the U.S. is no exception. What's unique here is that the collapse of the Soviet Union left America as the world's single leader. But there was a catch associated with it, in that it began to view itself as an empire. But an empire is not only about foreign policy, it's also about domestic policies. An empire cannot afford to display weakness, and any attempt to strike an agreement on equitable terms is often seen domestically as weakness. But the leadership cannot afford to display weakness due to domestic policy considerations. I think that the current administration realizes that it cannot solve the world's major issues on its own. But first, they still want to do it. And second, they can only take steps that are fit for an empire. Domestic policy considerations play a huge role.
Otherwise, you would be accused of weakness. In order to act otherwise, you either have to win overwhelming support or there must be a chance in mentality. When people will understand that it's much more beneficial to look for compromises than to impose your will on everyone. But it certainly takes time to change those patterns of thinking in any country. In this case, it's the US. First and foremost, this change should take place in the minds of the ruling elite, in the broad sense of this phrase. I don't think that it's impossible. I think we've almost come to that point. I very much hope we'll reach it soon.
Thank you, Mr. Putin.
And we are back. It's Willie Binny Davis with The Impossible Truth. We just listened to, a roundtable with President Vladimir Putin of Russia, which give, the U.S. some point of reference to hold on to understand where he's going with all the issues. And the fact that he's complaining that, the American cannot hold the world to its ideology, there are others. And it's not an empire, but it's, the world power. And we need to give it to the fact that there are other forces that nothing we can do about it that control the playground. We have the, emerging of the Chinese power, which is enormous. And pointing out that Russia is the enemy right now will not help, because we need to keep the balance of power in a way that we don't try to overtake them. We just need to understand and go along. Hey, that's the change that nobody predicted, but it's happening on the ground. So the fact of the matter, they could take over already in 2013, and we told everybody about it already. In 2013, he didn't. He's playing nice again, and he's playing nice now. And we know he can play not nice. We know. Everybody in the world knows. So he's giving the benefit also. He wants to talk about positive agenda. He wants to talk about all the things that can make some understanding and go about. The fact that he was talking about Iran as a positive force, you know what? Let's say that. You cannot get Iranian into the battlefield right now, because it's going to create the world to go berserk. You need to keep her thinking, of what they did wrong in the last 20 years. And if she's so good, why she didn't get any refugees into their houses? I don't know how many refugees she did. If she did, good. But if not, she needs to help. Those are where you make amend yourself with the world. It's not when you're reaching out to fight. Because once you reach out to fight, you get Israel in the game, and you don't want to do that. Because you don't want to do that. All right? So let's finish with this, with a big prayer to God. Let's make us go through this. And whatever they have planned for bad, that God will help us overcome it all. And may we become friends with everybody. All right? I wish you all well. Willie Binny Davis. I check up. I hope we have some seconds or minutes to listen to some finish segment of music. And we'll be back next week. All right? God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Io ero un passo avanti e due indietro, una foglia sospesa lì così, tipo un pesce dietro un vetro, io che osservavo le nuvole in cielo. Aspettavo segnale o chissà.